This morning, hello Carl.
Good morning.
How are you? You okay?
I'm very well, thank you.
Do us a favour, just pull the mic up a little bit.
Normally my voice is loud.
Yeah, so thanks for coming in. You're obviously here to talk about the Great British Bake Off and obviously your love of cooking.
Yeah, it's something that for many, many years I've been an advocate of, as you ask my wife.
You're always baking, aren't you?
Baking trouble.
Yeah, so it's obviously been a bit of a traumatic week for everyone. So you've been at the Dons for 6 years now, and I guess there's so many great highlights of your time at the Dons.
Yeah, there has. I think people also forget that I've been here for, I think it's 8.5 in total.
Right.
Obviously, we had I had 2 years under Paul, and obviously we're almost through a third of this season as well, so I've almost become institutionalised in some way. It's weird not being able to drive into work and stuff like that, but it is what it is. I've got a lot of things to be proud of, more things to be proud of than the negative side of it. I think a few other people have got a lot more things to worry about than me, so I'm in a really good place. I look back on my time as one that I know I won't, I'll never forget it.
What was the highlight of your time there? I guess there's so many, because you've got the Man U, you've got the Dele Alli, you've got being promoted.
The AFC game was something that, for me, whatever happens in the league this year against them, I've done it 3 times, if that makes sense. We were part of the team that John Asemoah goal in the 90th minute was ridiculous, and the roof of the stadium came off. Equally as well, the filling the stadium is Man United. Forget the result, but I know you can't, but forget that for a moment, to walk out in a stadium that I've seen the first game there, it's Bury, I know there's another one, a friendly, I didn't see that, but the first, when Keith scored, it was 2-2, I'd seen that, I'd been at that, and then to see the transition of MK1, and then to see the stadium full was something that I'll never forget, and it's something, the reason why it was built like that was, so it was, that would probably be walking out before the games because of the stadium being full and the back end of the AFC game.
Okay, so looking at obviously what's happened this last weekend, when do you think things started going wrong? When did you think the writing was on the wall?
I never. People say that my interview on after the game against Southend was down. Sorry, but I was disappointed and angry because I thought we weren't good enough for the second half. And it's probably the first time we played poorly. The team will finish in the top six. It will. I said this to the chairman on Sunday. Don't forget that team had, obviously, Joe playing at left-back, Paul playing at left-centre-half, third-choice centre-back playing centre-back, and no George Bulldog either. And no Kieran Agard. So I think that there's an awful, when it's so obvious what was missing, I was going into that game, I knew it was a bit worrying because I knew the stability of the back four would be important, and it wasn't to be. It was very rigid, and every time they went forward they looked very dangerous, and I was disappointed at the end of it, but it is what it is. I think sometimes that it may be a blessing in disguise for me personally.
What do you mean by that?
I think it gives me a chance to grow and change one or two things. Obviously, not everything was perfect in me. I have to take responsibility for that. I'll never shirk my responsibility. When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I look back at one or two things that I did. The most defining moment was Kingy passing away. And then it ripped me to shreds for a number of reasons. And Delhi goes in the same summer. And that I should have been stronger then. And that was the turning point in my career, I think, at MK Dons. And everyone tried so hard, the chairman, and big people are putting things at Bobby. Bobby works so hard, and he does. He tries so hard to do what he's got to do. And there's a lot of good people there. John Cove, Andy Cullen, Mark Turner, Sue Dawson. Can't forget Sue, she'll go mad at me. There's so many good people there. And then the backroom staff and everything else. I should have been stronger then. And we spoke about learning lessons. Our transfer policy in that window was atrocious. It wasn't good enough. And they were my signings, nobody else's, just that summer. But it's because there was nothing else available, if we're being honest.
So we're talking about this summer now, the signings going into this season.
There's so many things going on, and people can point fingers and question things. I'm not going to get drawn into any of that, but I'm talking when we got promoted.
Right, okay.
That Kingy passed away, I think it was middle of May, and it was hard. It was really hard. I remember probably the worst summer I ever had, yet it should have been the best. I remember when we got promoted, and funny if I was with Kingy the next day. I went home about 10:45 that night, and someone said, "What's wrong?" I said, "Something's just not right." I didn't feel right for some unknown reason at that particular stage, and I felt like it was maybe too soon for the club. I know it was amazing, but we played catch up from that moment on. Our chairman's openly admitted that we were playing catch up. It almost, we were so engrossed in winning, and my time wasn't about where we will be, it was where we are. And it was every second of every day was detailed to try and win a game of football, and it sort of caught us up a little bit. And I look back on that and I think I should have been stronger as a manager then. But it's, like I say, it's that all these things are sent to test us and to teach us and to make us better.
And going into this season, did you ever think that the club would end up being where it is at the minute?
Well, just, what, 6-7 points from the playoffs? Listen, that changes in two games.
Yeah.
Changes in two games. It does. Once that team's fit, they'll be... I've said this all along. It's... Sometimes we look at places in the table at certain stages. If we were where we are and we were 10-12 points away from the playoffs, I think you'd have a lot of problems then. But with not many games to go, there's a lot of football to play. And that's why... Well, I think I've seen the response by the players and it's been outstanding. And they know that they are good enough to move forward.
Good morning.
So let's talk about then what's next for you then. Loads of stuff obviously in the press this week.
Yeah, it's crazy. Listen, I've not been contacted at all. So it is, as you well know, the press can make up so many things. Me and my wife, we don't know what's around any corner right now. I think when you think from what happened Sunday, it's a bit of a shock, and you don't look at... And no time do I look at, want to use my disappointment to try and put it onto somebody else's football club. I'm trying to pick what I do at the weekend. Do I go to a game? And I'm thinking, oh my God, does that look like I'm after that job? And you don't want to put anybody under pressure. The job's so difficult anyway, and I just got to make sure that when the next one comes along, I'm ready.
When you say it was a shock, that normally means that you wasn't expecting it. So the official statement was it was mutual consent.
Yeah, we had a conversation for a while, and I think it's just one of them ones where he felt that his gut was he had to change something, and well, if that's what you need to do, is what you've got to do. It's as simple as that. It's not for me to at any stage to determine what goes on at somebody else's football club. I'm not the chairman. It's not my money. It's his money. It's his investment, and it's his life. So you have to respect that always. And no manager is ever bigger than any football club. No chairman's bigger than any football club. MK Dons are the biggest thing. That's it. And that's the institution of MK Dons. That is the growth of the set. It's the growth of the young fans. And it's almost like a mecca in some ways, is it, for the community. And for many years, Milton Keynes has been criticised for being disconnected, and you have maybe Crown Hill on one side, Kingsmead, then you'll have Broughton, Oak Grove, wherever it may be, different communities and in different aspects. And people will come to town for something for themselves or a partner or a present or whatever. And other than one or two bars and restaurants, the football club has now become a hub, and MK1 has become the best place to go to watch football, to do the cinema, and what that's done. My wife was talking the other night, and what that has done, that has actually raised the game of it's raised the game of every Kingsmead, it's raised the game of everywhere else. So the football club plays a massive part in the role of any community. And my job over 6 years was to build an identity, to integrate myself into a community, to support local football, to drive local football, to bring young Milton Keynes boys through the system, and to make Milton Keynes proud of that. And we did it. 50% of the squad now is homegrown, which is phenomenal. Okay, yeah, they don't always play, but the squad, as you look at it, 50% are homegrown. Obviously, the Delhis, the Brendans, the Sam Baldocks, they're stories that everybody knows about, but there's a lot more, and there's some more coming through. I've been watching the 14s a lot recently, and that's the disappointment I have. There's one or two players that I was looking forward to working with. There's three players that should play at the highest level who are in the academy system below 16, and I'm really excited to see what they do, and that would have been a massive part of my role. It's not to do with me anymore. I watch from afar, as always. And that's how football life is.
I think you told us before that one of the things that kept you in the job was your love of Milton Keynes. So now it's over at the Dons. Do you think you'll stay in Milton Keynes?
My love of Milton Keynes didn't keep me in the job. I kept in the job because I was good at what I did.
Yeah. But I think that was one of the factors, wasn't it? You were settled here. You said, you were settled here.
It's not so much what kept me here. What made people think I'm good at my job. It's what stopped me going to other places.
Yeah.
It's why I turned down jobs, was because I loved living here. My wife's got a business here, which is going very well. She works in schools and different communities as well with her other jobs that she does. So my daughter goes to school here. So we invested everything into it. And I felt at the particular time that happened, it was a necessity that happened because nobody else had done that. And I think when you look back, We're still in League One getting bigger crowds than what we got when we got promoted. Now that says that we're doing something right, or they were doing something right. And for me, that's the proud moment that we got relegated, and the home crowds have stayed very, very similar. And that is a sign of a growth. And the club has grown in that period of time, and now it's to flourish, and it's got to move forward, and it's got to have its own development structure now, but the foundations are certainly there, and that's for me that was important.
And what's your message for the fans right now?
They've been amazing to me, and for the ones who criticise me, I don't hold any grudges whatsoever. I respect everybody who pays to watch MK Dons and wears the shirt with pride. I think you have an identity for the first time. I have a great article in one of the national newspapers. It had MK Dons, a team of principles and morals under Robinson. Now, would you ever have heard that after the controversial birth? There's an acceptance within the football world now. There's a way of playing. There's a style. There's homegrown players coming through the system. And then young players need the support of the fans. Remember that you are the most important aspects of any football club. You're the driver of it. You're the financial controllers in some ways, because obviously that gets put back into the team. And I think the football club now will just grow from strength to strength. And it was ready to do that anyway. It's not that small blip in the summer. Okay, yeah, we changed the pre-season, we changed this. There's so many fingers to be pointed everywhere. And the real men just sort of take it and move on. And I am really, really excited for what that team can do for the rest of the season. And I wish the players, the staff, the board, and the fans the utmost of luck in the world, because they deserve it. They're great people, and I'll certainly watch with pride. The more success they have, it proves that what we did was right, and I'm sure that'll be the case.
Martin Garrick's on the beat of MK. This is MK FM. Carl Robinson's with us this morning. Let's have a look at some of the questions then that we've got on Facebook this morning. We touched on this earlier. I think you've answered this already. It says, are you going to Wigan after this interview?
I've not even spoken to them, so now I'm going to do some shopping with my wife.
Yeah. Colin Berry says, is there anything that you regret as your time as manager?
Yes.
You going to elaborate on that?
No, I'll keep that to my chest. People know. People do know in the game. And I'll keep that very, very close to my chest. Because I'm professional.
And do you think there could ever be a time where you would return to the Dons? That's another question we've got.
I've been asked this last week. I would love one day to have the opportunity to manage in that stadium for that club again. 100%.
Do you think the Dons have got the ability to become a Premiership side at some point? Certainly got the stadium and the facilities.
No,
No.
No. There's so much that you have to do to get there. It's training ground. You can't train in a park. Really, if you want to do that. And I know, and that's not a criticism, because I know how hard I'm putting, well, you know as well, the battles and the time and the effort the chairman's put into trying at a training ground has been probably the biggest driver over the last 24 months of what he's trying to do. And obviously when we sold Delhi, we were told we'd be in within 6 months, or we're getting close to getting the training ground. And he's been, a lot of doors have been closed on him unfairly in some ways. And if you want that, you need to. So we weren't winning at home, but every day when you go in, you're sitting in the same place. It's not new. You need to go to a training ground and go to that wonderful stadium for a match day. And when you look now, mate, you talk, we'll get to the point. When you look at Newcastle, Sheffield Wednesday, Aston Villa, at the top end of that championship, we were rock bottom of where everyone else was financially. And when you look at that champ, it's phenomenal. It really is. It takes... you'd probably say three times we would spend just to get anywhere near the playoffs in some ways. It's a massive, massive challenge. The stadium, the infrastructure, the work ethic, that's there. The people, fine, not a problem. But the daily routine of a training ground and the financial implications and the costs to get out that level, it's massive, massive.
Well, you look at teams like Brighton, you know, my hometown, you know, yes. they almost went bust so many times. They didn't have a ground at one point. They sold the ground. It became a retail park. Mm-hmm. And they've come so close to the Premiership so many times.
Yeah, they've got a £20 million training ground. And they buy players for 3, 4, 5 million. They turn down bids of 11 million for players. Can you see that right now where Milton Keynes are? But it's not. Listen, I'm talking about other football clubs. It's a bit unfair. Brighton and Milton Keynes are completely different. And I'm not going to be critical of anybody, but them two, that's a night and day scenario, trust me.
One question here. Have you got your P45 yet?
Don't know what that is. No. Speak to my agents, I don't know.
You're obviously not on PAYE. So, we touched on this earlier. Do you think that you will have a break now, or are you really keen to get back into football as soon as you can?
I don't think you can ever turn around and say that you want a break. I don't think you can ever turn around and say you want to get back in, because an eagerness to get back in could be an eagerness to make the wrong decision too soon. But then the longer you stay out of it, jobs could come and go, and you mightn't get that opportunity to pick your job. You very rarely get that as a manager. So you just have to wait and see what comes along. And if the right one comes along that you feel that you want to do, that means if you want to do something, you're going in fresh. And I just have to wait and see what comes along with that.
Got Carl Robinson with us this morning. Carl, really wanted to try and make this interview as positive as possible.
Marvellous.
And, you know, I'm glad that you've come in, because, you know, normally football managers, they kind of move on and you don't hear from them again. You don't get a chance to say farewell. But, you know, as well as the great moments that we've had at the Dons, I'm always going to remember the time that we both got involved with Henry Allen and the family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you'd met Dawn and Mark and Henry before, and I phoned you up during Henry's final days, and you were so keen to want to support and get involved in that. And I really think that showed your softer side, if you like.
Yeah, and I think it's important that, I remember when I first met Henry, he was a, it puts into context really what's happened to me, doesn't it?
Yeah. And if you don't know the story, Henry Allen was a four-year-old in Milton Keynes, died of neuroblastoma, which is a form of cancer, which you're now the patron of the charity. But, you know, it's still very hard now when you look back at those times.
It is. I got a text off Mark. I'm so sorry, mate. Hope you're okay. And I didn't know what to put back, because somebody's lost a life and I've lost a job. What's the... Life moves on, and life has different challenges. It has its ups, its downs. It has its amazing moments that will live in your life forever and ever. And or when something's taken away from you that you'll never see again, is something that I don't think I could deal with in some ways. And they're inspirational people, and to go with them, and we know them personally, and they went through a lot, and them sort of moments, living you forever. Funny, my last game, Henry gave me a little that sounds silly, gave me a plastic ball with a little Star Wars figure in. I've worn it in my coat ever since, and I put my hands in my pockets when they scored the third, and that's the first thing I grabbed. I don't know why, it was just in my pocket, and I just thought of him. And sometimes these are moments in our lives that there's always somebody worse off than you. There's always somebody with bigger problems than you. There's always transition in business. There's always transition in life, and you have to take it on the chin. And I think it was the wrong decision at this time for everyone, that I probably could have argued right or wrong. There's been so many things said. I have not publicly said anything bad about anybody. And I just, people like Dawn and Mark are really inspirational to everyone. And that's why I was more than keen to sit on a bike for 4 days for cycling to Paris.
Yeah.
I look back on that as a very difficult summer. That was hard. It was and obviously we did it together, a number of us did it, and it was a great achievement, a good laugh as well.
No, really good. And I remember you saying something to me about that, you know, in your life you kind of meet five people that change your life.
Yeah.
And you very much thought that Henry was one of them.
Yeah, there's a book, Five People That You Meet in Heaven, and the concept of the book is that when you meet, it's about fairground rides, strange concept really, but the whole book is about this man going through his life, and then all of a sudden he goes to heaven, and people that he didn't really thought influenced his life actually did. And I'm always on the lookout for that. I'm massively into people who can support you and help you, and sometimes people don't get the credit they deserve. But Henry was one that, I think we all spend a lifetime to influence other people. That's our role as human beings, is to make people happy and to make people support people. And people spend 70, 80 years trying to affect other people's lives and to support people's lives, and some of us never get that opportunity to do that. When a young man does it within 4 years, it's a special gift. And for as much as what he's not here, he certainly is. And I know yourself, it affected you, it affected me, it affected my family, and so many people within the community and where they're from. And them sort of people who can do something so great without even having to try. And he certainly did that to us all. And
the legacy lives on with the trust and the families that are being supported now.
Yeah, it's important that does live on, because it's maybe I've got more time to do more within it over the next few weeks and months, hopefully. And it's an amazing thing that obviously now the charity is going from strength to strength, doing so many different things. And hopefully, I know, well, that's not hopefully, I know people at MK Dons will certainly support that. I know the fans will certainly support that. And I know the people in Milton Keynes will certainly be a driver behind the success of that charity for many, many years to come. But like I say, it sort of puts into context, really, what we do in life. And well, I've learned a lot from them, probably more so now than ever.
And just to wrap up, you know, it is obviously your end of the time at MK's Dons, but there's been so many great moments. You look at the Man U game, you look at Dele Alli, you look at Sam Baldock moving on. Yeah. There's been so many great moments. So overall, you've got to see this as a real positive time in your life.
Yeah, it was. It was, I think, a net profit of £12 million transfer sales. Promotion, two playoff campaigns, relegation, which is equally was exciting as well, in a weird way. Growth of young players, like the Man United game, the Chelsea game, to fill in the stadium many, many times. And there'll always be haters, there'll always be people who are big and brave behind Twitters and social medias.
But I think that's football all over now.
It's society all over.
Yeah.
But you know what? I got a bit of criticism after the game, and people were around my car on Saturday, and you know what? They were good people. What they had to say was right, and I'm never going to argue with that. The Milton Keynes fans have been supportive of me and my family right the way through, and I have no remorse, no regret, just pure professionalism from keeping my comments to myself, and respect for where that football club can now go. when we said before about one being a Premier League, one day it will, but the change, there's so much to go before it can become that. The stadium and the infrastructure is certainly there, but there's so many other fragments to it, and I wish it all the luck in the world, and hopefully one day our paths may cross again.
Thanks for all your support as well for the radio station.
Don't be silly, mate. It's been a pleasure.
You've been an instrumental part of what we've done, and I know that there'd be so many people out there wanting to thank you for your time at the Dons and for your support for Milton Keynes as well. So thanks, Carl.
No problem, mate. Thank you very much.